Okay, let's go ahead and get started tonight. Okay, great. As I came in, I noticed a sign out there that said something about how to discern God's leading in your life. So I think that's more or less the topic for this evening. My name is Bill Kennedy. My wife Pam is here with me. Stand up there, honey, so they can see you. We're going to share a little bit with you tonight about how God has given us his leadership in our lives in terms of our ministry. And then Jerry Fine will come up and introduce himself and share about how the Lord has led him and his wife Marilyn in their lives. And then we plan to just open it up for questions, some of which we might be able to answer and some not, but we'll give it a shot. Let's just begin and ask the Lord to lead us all through this time. Father, we do thank you for the privilege of knowing you and for this wonderful conference, for all the insights, for all the things that have been shared, the prayer groups, the times of sharing, meeting new friends, deepening friendships, hearing from Nick and others in communicating what you've been doing in the world and in individuals' lives. And Father, we would just ask you that in this this coming hour, that if there's anything that you want to say through Pam or myself or Jerry, that Lord, you would do that. And then for each person here, perhaps what you want to say to them, Lord, is not anything that we plan to share, but we're just turning this time over to your Spirit, knowing that he will speak to each heart as he wills. And so, Lord, we simply pray that our hearts would be open, that we would be responsive, submissive to you, and ready to obey. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Well, let me just give you a little bit of an idea of what Pam and I are doing right now. For about the last 10 years, we've been living just south of here in Norman, involved in what has really been a blessing to us, ministry reaching out to students from China, primarily from mainland China. And before I go any further, I'd like to introduce two really dear friends of ours who didn't know I was going to introduce them, but Qimin and Honggui, would you stand, please? This is a mother and daughter. They are Christians. Honggui and her husband Zheng Biao came here along with their daughter Qimin. Qimin was only 8 years old when they came, and she's now in her freshman year at Washington University in St. Louis. She's an accomplished violinist, and but most importantly, several years ago, she and her mom came to know Christ as their Savior and Lord, and then began to pray for Zheng Biao, their dad, their husband, that he would believe in the Lord as well. And it took several years and a lot of praying by them and by us, but about 3 years ago on Good Friday evening, he came to know Christ and now is an excited, eager, growing Christian. So all of this family is one in Christ, and they're a blessing, and it's exciting to be a part of the ministry that we're involved in. Perhaps what is more fitting to the theme tonight of how God leads in our lives is how we came to be involved in ministering to students from China. And I would say for us, and this may not apply to all of you or to just how God leads always, but in our case, it was a long process. It wasn't something that we just woke up one day and read in our quiet time and a certain verse and we said, oh, we're going to minister with Chinese people for the next 10 or 20 years of our lives. It was really a long process of coming to that point of ministering to Chinese people. A long process and also a gradual one. But there were some key steps along the way, and I'll share two or three of those in just a moment. The third aspect of this is, as I said, first of all, it was a long process and a gradual process, but over the years, God just began to kind of narrow our focus to where we now, at least at this time in our lives, are focusing on ministering to folks from mainland China. Let me mention what I think are a couple of keys in how this happened in our lives, and then Pam will come in just a moment and share a couple of other things. The first key, I believe, and I think this would apply to all of you in whatever you're sensing or praying about for your future, and that is to be willing to go. And when I say to be willing to go, I mean willing to go to another place, another culture, to pour your life out there. Matthew 28:19-20. As you are going, make disciples. And I know that means wherever you are. But in Acts 1:8, the Lord said to those first disciples, when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, you will receive power to be my witnesses. And he said, right here in Jerusalem, right where you are, and then a little further out in Judea, and all Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the world. And so I think if we're really in touch with God's heartbeat, that we need to be willing to say to God, I'm willing to do whatever you want me to do, and I'm willing to go wherever you want me to go. That doesn't mean that God's going to take all of us overseas, you know, for a significant part of our lives, or even perhaps at all. But I think we need to be willing to do that. One of the things that Pam and I did as singles was to be involved in short-term mission trips. Some of you have already been involved in short-term mission trips, either here in this country or overseas. In fact, how many of you have been on some kind of short-term mission trip? Okay, many of you have. Those of you who have done that, I'm sure you could say what I said when I came back from my first short-term mission trip, and that was, I'm changed. I remember having come back from a short-term mission trip to Hong Kong, and when I looked at a world map, it was just different than it had been before. Prior to that, when I looked at a map of the world, I saw all those dots and all these cities, and it really didn't mean that much to me. But having been to this huge 6 million person city of Hong Kong, when I came back and opened up a world map after that trip, and I looked at all the other dots on the map, all these other cities, even though I hadn't been there, but I had an impression of what it must be like, that what the world was like, so many millions of people who needed to know Christ. And so those short-term mission trips, whether they're here or overseas, they really begin to put you in touch with God's heart. And then another thing that that I began to do as a single was I began to give. And I was a college student. I didn't have much money to give. In fact, for a lot of that time, I was trying to, you know, make those savings that I had last through my college career. But I still gave. And I found that the more I gave to my church, to missions, to things like the Lottie Moon offering, or in my case, our pastor had been doing some ministry in Romania, and he encouraged and challenged us, gave us the names of people, and so I wanted to give there to what I was hearing. And in fact, this wasn't the only reason that I ran out of money, but giving, I finished my junior year, and I didn't have money enough to finish my senior year. I had to stop for a year and work, but I never regretted being willing to give to missions. And I would just encourage you to do that. I don't mean, you know, take tuition money that your parents have given you and give that. But if you're working, you've got some sort of savings or some kind of income, purpose to give. And I would encourage you to start with a tithe. There's probably not in the New Testament a rule about how much we should give, but, you know, in the Old Testament, God required a tenth of his people, and that's probably a good place to start. But as you give, again, your heart grows for what's on God's heart. And as we're told in the New Testament, lay up treasure in heaven where moth and rust will not destroy. And so those are for me just a few of the thoughts of how God led us and put on his heart what's on his heart. Pam, come up and share some of your impressions.
Mm-hmm. We found that missions, being a part of missions, has really greatly enhanced our lives. But of course, that's following God. That has just blessed us so much. You know, when Bill and I together, we were single at the time, in 1976, we went to Hong Kong just for summer. But I never knew that just going for summer would actually, I'd be just gripped with that the rest of my life, you know. And because before we left, actually I wasn't very willing to go, but our leader, she asked me, she said, "Pam, aren't you going to pray about going on this trip?" And I said, "Well, I just didn't think that I would be one to go." You know, she said, "Well, you don't know until you pray." And so she really challenged me to do that. And that morning I went back home and just began to pray, "Okay, Lord, do you really want me to go?" See, I didn't have any vision for what overseas would be like. I just was comfortable at home. But the more I prayed, the more God was saying, "I want you to be willing." So he specifically led me in the Word and told me to, you know, to apply for this and to go ahead and try to go. And so God just began to open that door. And so by the time that summer was over with, I couldn't believe God had given me such a love for the people that I really didn't want to go home. I wanted to stay there much longer. But see, God was just planting that in my heart. And of course, I didn't know at the time that Bill and I would marry many years later. But God was planting in his heart the same thing. So when I think about this, a few of you have been to Hong Kong, and some of you are from Hong Kong, I think. So I remember standing at the border where we couldn't go over from Hong Kong into China at that time, and we just stood there praying for the people in China. And see, that was called the New Territories, and so we didn't walk over there at that point. But we just envisioned what it looked like, what it would be like. But we also envisioned the many people but I you know, when I went there that summer and when God led us there, I had no idea that he would do so much in my heart. But we had no idea that God would actually lead us together as a couple, but we sure didn't know that he would lead us towards China and that he would give us such a love for the people of China. So I don't know what he may do in your life, but I'm just really thankful that there were leaders that kept urging us, you know, to seek God and to let him just lead you whatever direction he wanted to lead you. And so I just wanted to mention to you also that, of course, that was at the beginning of when God was opening my eyes, that the world was on his heart and he wanted to show me. You know, he wanted me to be a part of his vision for the world and to really just be a partner. But he kept leading me through the Word. I just noticed this, you know, over the years. He always was so faithful and is faithful to lead me through the Word. And so that's how I would encourage you, is just to keep staying in the Word, you know, every day. But he may not show you the direction, the exact place you'll be. He won't show you that quickly, probably. But you know, I'm just thankful for how he began to step by step direct me. See, there was one summer that I went to Japan, and I love the Japanese people too. But I noticed that summer I didn't feel quite as free, quite as at home, I guess you might say. So I began to pray at the end of that summer, "Lord, do you want me to be with the Japanese people? Do you want me to be with the Chinese people? what group of people would you want me to minister to? And by the end of that summer, God was showing me again that he wanted me to be with the Chinese people. And he loves them all, every single group, but I knew he was specifically showing me again that it was Chinese. So anyway, through the years, he continued to show me through the Word. But I'm going to just kind of skip up here. After Bill and I were married and we were on the West Coast, we were around lots of Asian people. We enjoyed it greatly. We really love that part of the U.S. too. But we began to sense that the Lord wanted to direct us possibly a different way. So we prayed, Lord, where do you want us to be that you would use us to the maximum that you want to use our lives? Not that we would be great, but just that he would use us the most that he could, you know. And so we began to think about college, universities again. We just prayed over different situations. And then God brought this situation of the University of Oklahoma to us. And our supervisors, who are Jim and Jerry White, you've heard Mr. White, I think, recently. Jim called and wanted us to come and help them in the ministry at OU with mainland Chinese people. And we were really excited, but we knew we really needed God to show us, to direct us, you know. So Bill and I began to pray, and we felt that it was so strategic that we really wanted to fast and pray. So we took, you know, a few days to fast and kept praying and kept taking time away with the Lord on weekends to do that. And so it was not too long after that that God showed us through the Word that part where Paul was called upon, you know, or it's a Macedonian call. He said, come over and help us. And we realized that that was the exact thing that Jim had asked us. You know, he said, we need help here. We need people to come and help us to win these people to Christ and to train them, to disciple them. He said, could you come over and help us? So when we read that passage, we just stopped right there, you know, and prayed and asked the Lord, is this what you're saying to us? And the way we've done that in the past is that when we sense God is speaking to us through the Word, we just kind of just dwell on that passage a few minutes. And we stop and we pray over it. And often we'll close the Bible and continue to pray and come back to it and pray again the next day, asking the Lord, did we hear you clearly? And the more we continued to pray about that, we just sensed that this was definitely what God was saying. Come over and help us. And the peace and encouragement came so quickly there that we wanted to go. And so we were on our way within about a month to come to OU. And we've just had a tremendous time. We've been so blessed to be there. But God has just done so many things in our lives, and we trust he's using us there too. But one thing, a verse that I really often look to is Psalms 32:8. You know, if you're thinking about God's leading you and where to go, what he wants you to do, I often look at this. It says, I will instruct you and lead you in the way that you should go. I will guide you with my eyes upon you. So I just get encouraged when I think about that, that God is always just wanting us to wait upon him and knowing that he will instruct us and lead us in the way that we should go. And he's wanting to guide us all the way. But I just have sensed that he's so personal. You know, he takes us just step by step. Usually he doesn't just go zoom and you're at the end of the road, you know. It does take time, but boy, just getting to know him on that road of trying to discern where he wants you to spend the most of your life, you know, is a blessing. It's really a blessing in getting to know him along that way. But anyway, I'll let Jerry continue. Thank you.
Thank you, Pam. It's very obvious that the subject is very important to you by the large number that's here in this group. Let me just see if I can give you some practical points that might help you. Our whole life has been a life of trying to discern God's will in our life and being committed to obey. I think there's a few things that are important to you as an individual seeking God's will. And that is, number one, you really need to understand how much God loves you. I mean, over and over in the Scripture, we're just, it's made known to us. And here are some things, just six things you need to know about God's love for you. From the beginning, before He created the world, the Scripture says in 2 Thessalonians 2:13, from the beginning, God loved you. And then in Ephesians 2:13, before the creation of the world, God loved you. Now think about that. Before the beginning, before the creation of the world, in the beginning, God loved you. And then another thing to remember about God's love is that it is everlasting. In Jeremiah 31:3, it says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Hebrews 13:5 says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. What kind of love is that? See, you are really special to God. And you need to understand that. God loves you deeply. You are very significant to God. You know, I know there are times in your life when you feel like you're not very significant. You're extremely significant to God. And then the third thing you need to understand about God's love is totally unconditional. You know, Psalms 139, 1 through 12, and then 17 and 18. He knows all your sin. He knows every evil thought you've ever had. He knows every evil deed you've ever done. And yet He loves you. I'd call that unconditional love. When I think about what God knows about me, and yet He loves me, that's unconditional. And so, another thing you need to know about God's love. God is constantly expressing His love to you throughout the Scripture. Did you know that? Just begin to look with your name as you read through the Scripture. Isaiah 43:4 says that you're precious in God's sight. Did you know that? You're really precious in God's sight. In Deuteronomy 7:6, we're called God's special treasure. Do you realize you're God's special treasure? God has an investment in you. You're really significant. And then, another thing you need to know about God's love, the fifth thing is that God's love is not based on your performance. Boy, that excites me. God's love isn't based on my performance. I want you to think about this for a moment. God proved His love for you 2,000 years ago. Not only did He love you in the beginning, but 2,000 years ago He proved it by allowing His Son Jesus Christ to die on the cross for your sins. What had you done for Him 2,000 years ago? Not a thing. You see, God's love for you is not based on your performance. You are a significant part of God's plan. And that brings us to another thing, the sixth point. God has a good plan for your life. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, saith the Lord. They're plans for good, not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. God really does have a good plan for your life. So that brings us to the point, me personally, where I want to be in line with what God has planned for my life. When I was in college, I came to the understanding that God, Jesus, is really God. He is the powerful controller of all things, and that He is faithful. And if you will allow God to build those piers into your life, He can build any superstructure He wants to on those piers. Jesus is God. That means He has all the attributes of God. He is the powerful controller of all things. Nothing surprises God. You know, something doesn't happen in your life, and God says, oh, I didn't know that was going to happen. Boy, I'm sorry about that. In fact, the difficulties and the trials and the hard times in your life are absolutely essential. You study the Scripture and you'll find there's no maturing in the Christian life apart from going through trials and difficulties and hard times. And so many times we feel like, well, I got to make the third point, and that is, God is faithful. You know, 99.99999% faithful is what? Unfaithful. Faithful is 100% of the time. That means without exception. That means every promise that God has given you in the Scripture, He must fulfill. Now, some of those are conditional promises. You must meet the condition, but God will always be faithful. You meet the condition, and God gives the blessing. See? And it's good for you to know God is faithful. You can count on Him. I've been counting on Him for about 48 years now of really trying to walk with God. And He's never let me down one time. He's never been unfaithful one time. That's just personal testimony. You can count on Him. He is faithful. He will do everything He's promised He will do. Sometimes, like in Psalms, it says, they were at wit's end. They were at their wit's end. My father-in-law used to call that wit's end corner. You know? I mean, sometimes He'll take you to a wit's end corner and scare you to death, but He will always meet you there. He's faithful. Now, God has a plan for your life. I want you to visualize it like this. Think of my left arm as God's plan for your life. That's God's will for your life. See, His plan is His will for your life. Now, here you are over here. God is already committed. He says, I know the plans I have for you. They're plans for good, not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. This is His plan for your life. This is His will for your life. All He's asking you to do is what? Come over here and join Him. And live out His plan for your life. Folks, that's a decision you need to make now. You need to make that early in your life. It'll save you a lot of stress and heartache for the rest of your life. Because if you're committed to just seek and desire, and you have a passion to walk in the center of God's will, and all you want to do is walk in the center of His will and bring delight and honor and glory to Him, when that becomes the passion of your life, you can have whatever you want. Do you know that?
Turn in your Bibles to, let's look at 1 John 5, 14 and 15. 1 John 5, 14 and 15. I'm reading out of the NIV. Now listen closely as I read. This is the confidence that we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of Him. That's a promise, folks. And God is faithful. And faithful means 100% of the time. When you are committed to live out God's plan for your life, and all you want in your life is God's will in your life, it's a guarantee. You will get it. But you have to come to the point in your life where that's all you want in life. All you want to do is live in the center of God's will. All you want to do is live out God's plan for your life. You are convinced that He knows better than you. You know, when I was in college, I just stopped to rationalize and think about it. Do I know everything? No. Does God know everything? Yes. Does God know what's going to happen tomorrow, next week, next month, next year? Yes. Do I? No. Well, who's in a better position to make the decisions in my life? God. That doesn't take a genius to figure that out, does it? Of course, He's in the position to make the right decision every time. And when you learn to live your life totally yielded to God's control, let me give you an example. When Jesus lived here on earth, did He sin? When you're living under the full control of the Holy Spirit, you won't either. When Jesus lived here on earth, did He make the right decision every time? You bet. He never made a wrong decision. When you learn to yield the full control of your life day by day and moment by moment and live under His control, you will make the right decision every time for those moments you're living under His control. Did Jesus accomplish God's will in His life by coming here, dying on the cross for His sin, for our sins? Did He accomplish God's will? When you're living under the control of the Holy Spirit, so will you. So it's a matter of learning how to live a life totally yielded to God, where all you want in life is to live in the center of His will and to bring delight and honor and glory to Him. That's why you're here, folks. You're not here to consume your life upon your own lust. You're not here to waste your life. You're sent here on a mission by a God who loved you in the beginning, before the creation of the world. He knew you by name. And you're here on mission for God. And God doesn't take any great delight in keeping from you His will. God wants you to know His will. Now, He may reveal it to you a little at a time. Why? Because God loves the intimacy of the walk with you, in the walk with you. You see, so many of us think that God, we're here, and God wants us to be here, and that's all He's interested in, is getting us from here to here. That's not so, folks. God loves the day-by-day, moment-by-moment, intimate fellowship with you every step of the way. Right? He loves the fellowship with you. Why do you think He created you? Why do you think He gave you breath? Why do you think He allowed you this privilege to be here on earth? Because He loves you. And He loves the fellowship with you. And He wants to walk with you and talk with you every day. Well, that's a basis for making decisions. Because God really does know what's best for your life. He can do a better job of running your life than you can. And just trust Him. He's faithful. Now, how do we make decisions? Well, we had the privilege of sitting under an old pastor when we were in college. His name was Preacher Halleck. And Preacher lived by promises. And he taught us how to live by promises, how to saturate your life with the Word of God and listen to God to speak to you, because He was going to speak if you were listening for Him to speak. And so he taught us that it was important to read the Bible through once a year for the rest of your life. So I've done that for about the last 48 years. And I want to tell you, it's one of the richest experiences of my life, just letting the Word of God flow over my life every year, listening to God speak. Many times I have questions, and so I've learned through the years the best way for me to do that. In fact, see, we face some of the same questions you face. 2 years ago, we were contacted about going to Belarus. We wrote a discipleship book called One-on-One with God, and a BCM director from Colorado contacted us and said, do you have One-on-One with God in Russian? And we said, no, we have it in Romanian, Spanish, Quiche Indian language, but not Russian. He said, would you like to have? I said, well, God's put it in our heart to reach the world for Christ through One-on-One with God, so I guess we're going to have it in a lot of different languages. And he said, I've got 2 translators and 3 proofreaders ready to translate it. I said, well, let me pray about it, because, see, timing is important with God. We want to make sure we're at exactly where God wants us, at the time He wants us there, doing what He wants us to do. So timing is important with God. And so I said, let us pray about it and see if God will speak to us and give us direction. Well, that night, God gave us a promise that we were to work with Him, get it and translate it into Russian. And so I called him back there the next morning, and I told him God had spoken to us, given us clear direction, and we would work with Him. And so we completed that translation. That was a year ago last February. Well, 2 years ago this coming February. And last August, Marilyn and I, the translation was just in the finishing stages. We went to Belarus, and we were there for 10.5 weeks, discipling pastors and their wives and some of the lay people and the missionaries there, taking them through One-on-One with God. And the pastor of the Baptist Union there and the
SC strategic coordinator of the missionaries. We met with them after we had discipled a number of the pastors there, taking them through one-on-one with God. And they were getting so many good reports. They said, we want all of Belarus, all the pastors and churches of Belarus to be discipled through one-on-one.
I think I had it in my mind that
see? There's nothing magic about discerning God's will. It's just a matter of staying in the Word and staying on your knees and wanting God's will more than you want your own, and God will speak. And then we've had to pray specifically about, well, God, do you want us to go disciple? And so earlier in this year, we prayed, and God led, and so we went. And so two promises just related to going to Belarus. Now, there are other ways that God can lead you. Many times we have to make a decision before God has given us a promise. And so one of the ways that we make decisions is based on godly wisdom. James, the first chapter, says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. And there's some more in that text that you need to read and study, because it says, if you don't believe God's going to give you the wisdom to make the decision, then forget it. Because he probably won't. You have to have faith. You have to believe that God will give you wisdom to make the right decision. But see, I'm encouraging you to have that intimate and personal walk with God, that intimate and personal fellowship with God, so that he's free to speak to you and give you direction. He knows where to find you every morning, see, in the book and on your knees, see, so that he can lead. There are other ways to make decisions. A lot of people make decisions by open doors and circumstances. And I use that as a secondary way, a way of confirming a lot of times. In fact, many times when God gives me a promise, I say, God, would you like to confirm that for me? See, I'm not questioning God. I'm not saying, God, I don't think you call that right. I want you to change your mind. No, I don't want him to change his mind. Really, honestly, when I come to the Word of God seeking a promise, I want God's will. I do not want my way. You know, the children of Israel would not pray for God's will. They thought they knew what was best, and so God gave them the desire of their heart. But the Scripture said he brought leanness to their soul. I don't want that. I'm convinced God can do a better job of running my life than I can. I think most of you are. So stay in the Word of God. Stay on your knees. God will lead you. He's not trying to keep it from you. You know, open doors and circumstances. I use that as secondary, because one time I was reading through the Bible, and I noticed that Paul said, I would have come unto you, but Satan hindered me. In one of the translations, it said, Satan closed the door. So when I found out Satan was in the door closing business, I thought, I better take another look at that. But that is a legitimate way. Open doors and circumstances. You just need to be sensitive to God. Make sure you're following God's leadership. Another way of discerning God's will is the fleece. You know, asking God specifically to let something happen or not happen so that you'll know exactly what he wants you to do. You need to be careful with that. Make sure that you're not profiting from it and somebody else is really getting hurt from it when you ask that. If we had time, I could share a lot of experiences along those lines. But I think we better stop and ask, do you have any questions? Pam, Bill, you all want to come up and see. Do you have any specific questions you'd like to ask? Not sure we can answer them, but we'll try.
A minute ago, you mentioned something about circumstances. What was it?
Open doors and circumstances. Yeah, a lot of people, that's their primary way of making decisions. If the door is open, they feel like God has opened it, and they walk through. And you'll find some evidence in the Scripture about open doors and circumstances and that it's a legitimate way. But when I did read that, when I read that about Satan hindered Paul, and one of the Scriptures said, Satan closed the door, it makes me cautious when I use that. And I usually use it as a way of confirming. Come on up closer to the mic. Any questions? Okay.
Other than the pattern you just told us, did you do anything different deciding an additional career before going to the ministry?
Well, I was really, personally, I was really open to go into the ministry when I was in college. I just totally surrendered my life to Christ, said, I'll do anything you want me to do. I'll go anywhere you want me to go. All I want to do is walk in the center of your will. That was my commitment to Christ. I've been a layman. I was a contractor for 30 years, working all over the United States, repairing airfield pavements for the government. I felt that I was called to do what God called me to do just as much as any pastor, any evangelist. In fact, I have many friends, close friends, who are pastors and missionaries and so forth. But I felt just as called because God did not call me to go do that. Now, when I was in my early 50s, God spoke to me in my quiet time one time while I was on a job up in Chicago, and he said, retire, stay not, do not delay. My dad had died at 58, my brother at 40, so I didn't know if God was telling me to get my affairs in order or what he was telling me. But we retired from a very prosperous business at that time. So I'm not asking you to do something I haven't done myself. We went into business based on a promise God had given us. Our marriage is based on a promise God has given us. Our home is built on a promise God has given us. Many of the cars we've driven through the past years based on promises God had given us. Why? Because I'm convinced God wanted to lead us every step of the way. See? Maybe you all have comments.
I think I would just say, you know, that all of us as Christians are full-time missionaries, and we just have to discern what it is, how God wants us to live out that full-time missionary commitment. For the majority, as Jerry said, it's going to be, you're going to be working in, you know, the career that you've been studying and preparing for, and ministering in that context and ministering in your church and so on. Elizabeth Elliot was asked one time, what's the key to the Christian life? And she said, read the Bible, pray, and obey. And I think Jerry's been sharing that with us. You know, read God's Word, pray, be in fellowship with Him, and be committed to do whatever He says to do.
Let me have you write down something. Write down Luke 5:5 and by it write the attitude of obedience. Luke 5:5. I think it's one of the greatest attitudes a new Christian can have. Luke 5:5. Peter and the disciples had been fishing. They hadn't caught anything. Jesus was on the shore, told them, put your nets down on the other side of the boat. Now, how wide's the boat? I don't know, 10, 15 feet. They hadn't caught anything. It's daytime now, and I understand that part of the world, you don't fish in the daytime. He told them, put your nets down on the other side. Peter could have said, Jesus, I'm a fisherman. I fished all my life. My dad was a fisherman. My grandfather was a fisherman. I know how to fish. So, we've already been fishing. Why don't you just let us come on the shore? He didn't say that. You know what he said? In the New King James, it says, at your word, I will. That's an attitude that you need to cultivate in your life as a Christian. Lord, at your word, I will. We call it the attitude of obedience. See, what it'll save you a lot of grief in your life because you make up your mind now that when God speaks, you're going to obey. It's not a question. Am I going to consider it? See, for most Christians today, they say, God, you speak, and I'll consider it. That's pretty haughty. That's making themselves higher than God and saying, God, you serve me. You give me the information. I'll make the decision. That doesn't honor God. You know what honors God? Just like Peter, when you say, Lord, at your word, I will. And you need to make that decision now. You need to make that decision tonight. And no matter what God says for the rest of your life, you don't have to stop and think about it. You just say, God, you spoke. I hear. I'm going. I'm doing whatever you said. See? I will obey. You just speak. At your word, I will. Okay? Have another question?
You said some verses where people used to open their palms and search between the Bible.
You know, I've run across it three or four times. I remember this last year three or four times about open doors and circumstances, but I don't remember the references. Do you all? I can give you the one where Satan hindered him was 2 Thessalonians 2:18. You might just use that as a reference and then run some cross-references on it. But I know there's two or three places in the Bible where it talks about open doors and circumstances. Maybe some of you know. Anybody know one offhand? Okay. Have another question? Okay.
We were just talking about how God gives us promises about all kinds of things, but when you say that God gives us promises in Scripture, can you kind of tell us what that means by what that means?
I'm writing a book on that. It would take I would love to, but it'd take at least 2 hours to just scratch the surface on it. But it's a matter of staying in the Word of God consistently, reading the Word of God, and not just opening the Bible and, you know, like this. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about reading where I'm having fellowship with God and I'm expecting God to speak to me. I have a problem and I need to know what He wants me to do. It's not a magical kind of deal, but many times when I have been in need of a promise, I had to know the next morning what to do. I've been up most of the night reading and praying and asking God. I've learned to lay, when I'm seeking a promise, to write out my question that I'm asking God. I write it out on a piece of paper. I've got a couple here about going to Belarus. If you want to come and see them, you're welcome to do that. One was if God wanted us to be involved.